Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tanner Johnson. With me, as always, is Ricky Scott. What's up, Ricky?
What's up, Tanner? What's up, everybody?
And, what today is? It's preview day.
Preview day.
Just a little housekeeping before we get started. We are a two-man small business, so please show support by rating, commenting, and subscribing, and sharing with your friends. It really helps us out. Like, we definitely put a lot of hours and a lot of effort into these episodes, and so we hope that you guys can see that and leave us comments on how we can do better. Like, Apple Podcast comments is the best way to let us know. If you like something, if you want us to improve on something, just let us know. I definitely will be going through those.
Yeah, your feedback definitely helps us out.
All right, Ricky. Thursday Night Football. Oh. Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. We finally got a game. It's gonna be a shootout.
I think Joe Burrow's definitely coming back with some revenge.
Yeah, it's the two best quarterbacks in the league right now. Lamar's playing like another MVP. Joe Burrow's playing like another MVP. They're just going crazy.
I think I'm not gonna say it's a little too late, but I don't think that the Ravens are gonna get it done
this week for the win.
I think the Bengals might actually have them on this one.
I think the Bengals already beat the Ravens this year.
No, the Ravens Joe last minute.
The Ravens did win last minute?
Yes. So I think they scored a last minute touchdown to win the game. Then that was a shootout, like you said. And I expect them to pick up where they left off.
Yeah. So I'm curious how Deontay Johnson affects this game for the Ravens. Deontay played last week, but it was kind of a non-factor. But you saw that after the trade, corners and safeties were kind of keying in on Deontay, trying to make sure that he was covered and that people kept eyes on him, and it just opened up Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely in the passing game. But both teams actually made a trade right before the trade deadline.
Oh, I love
it. The Bengals right before the trade deadline found out that Zach Moss is likely out for the rest of the year. They're starting running back. So they traded with the Bears for Khalil Herbert for a 7th-round pick, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, like, that's not a bad pickup.
Yeah, for how little it was, that's an awesome pickup for the Bengals. Good hands, really fast, really quick. Fast and quick are different things. Quick is short area. I mean, he definitely got it. I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing with him. Getting creative with it, and the Ravens did trade for Tre'Davious White. Was someone that we highlighted as possibly moving on from the Rams. They got a 7th-round pick as well in 2027, just for a 2026 7th-round.
Hopefully, new scenery is good for White. Hopefully, he can bolster that defense a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's just old. Injuries have stacked up, man. Like 3-4 years in a row, tearing ACLs. I think he's just old, and like, injuries have taken a toll on him.
Yeah.
I like the depth add, because they've been struggling at their third corner. Nate Wiggins is a rookie. Marlon Humphrey's been solid. They just need some more depth and rotation guys back there, especially in this matchup. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. It's not an easy thing. I do believe that T. Higgins was practicing. I doubt he is playing this week, but it's something to watch out.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White, 29 years old, riddled with injuries. You never know. Like, I like to use J.K. Dobbins as an example. He never gave up, so hopefully, you know, new team, new scheme, maybe it'll work out for him. And like you said, the depth add.
Yeah. And especially like pennies on the dollar, I think it was fine. I do know that the Ravens were in on Marshawn Lattimore. They were trying to get Marshawn Lattimore. And we're not willing to give what the Commanders gave.
No.
So we will get into that a little bit later. But my matchup to watch is Kyle Hamilton versus the Bengals tight ends. Mike Gesicki's kind of been coming on in the last couple of weeks. And you've truly seen Joe Burrow's mastery of his offense. How, regardless of T. Higgins being in the lineup, he is distributing the ball and basically controlling the whole thing like Tom Brady at the end of his career. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, you can definitely see the maturity in his game from rookie season to now. But yeah, he's playing great, and I think he's going to be playing with that fire under his ass, and he's going to get it done.
All right. Ravens favored by 6. What are you going, Ricky?
You know me. I like to take that coward's way out, and I will pick the Bengals.
Oh, my God. Coward. I do think the Bengals cover that 6 points. It's going to be a field goal game. We both know it.
Oh, yeah.
So, we do have our last international game of the week. New York Giants versus the Carolina Panthers in Germany.
Man, they could have picked two better teams.
So, the Giants have definitely been playing better. Tyrone Tracy, Theo Johnson, and Malik Nabers, they're the future. I'm curious as to what they do during the offseason if Joe Shane stays on, because his first two drafts were abysmal. Epically bad. Not one viable starter in his first two drafts. And now, this last draft, he got arguably a top five receiver already in Nabers.
Yep.
Starting caliber tight end, Theo Johnson. Starting safety in Tyler Newbin. Starting slot corner in Drew Phillips. Like, they got starting running back in Tyrone Tracy that gives explosion to your offense. He nailed this whole draft.
I think they did pretty decent in free agency besides being stagnant with Daniel Jones. If that defense wasn't riddled with injuries, I think they'd be in a better position.
Yeah. So the Giants are actually 6.5-point favorites. That's a little disrespectful.
I mean, I see them covering.
Oh, yeah. So here's my Panthers takes. Okay. After what I have seen the past 2 weeks, I don't think they take a quarterback in the draft. I think they're sticking with Bryce Young. Just like you said, I was out. I thought Bryce Young was done. 100% done. But you believe, like, oh, maybe they can either trade for him or give him some more runway. I thought he was just done, out of the league. He looked so confident, even without Deontay Johnson last week. Granted, he played against the Saints, and the Saints' defense is bad.
They're abysmal. Terrible.
So, this is the week. I think the Panthers win this game. Bryce Young, the only way he can win is if he becomes like Joe Burrow. I'm not saying he's Joe Burrow. Okay, Bryce Young is an outlier in physical traits. Height, weight, physical traits. He is on the small end of the spectrum and everywhere. But draft-wise, him and Joe Burrow were talked about as the same way. They were not going to wow you with physical tools, but they were going to dominate you in the mental aspects of the game. And for Bryce Young to improve, he needs to master his offense. If they keep Dave Canales on, I think Bryce Young looks even better next year by just getting reps under his belt. Adding a number one wide receiver in the draft, Teteroig McMillan, Luther Burden, Isaiah Bond, possibly even Travis Hunter. That gives him that number one option that can grow with him and develop that chemistry with him. I think this is only the beginning of Bryce Young.
Yeah, I totally agree, but I think management, coaches, they all need to, you know, take a long look in the mirror, maybe have a big sit down and be like, this is our guy, we're going to stick with him. And then they truly got to say, okay, we're going to build around this guy. Let's fit the scheme to fit around his strengths and weaknesses, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, not a lot of people saw Tim Tebow winning in this league, and Tim Tebow took the Broncos to winning a playoff game. Yeah. And then look at it, since he went to other teams where they didn't want to build around him or, you know, play using his strengths, he failed and washed out.
Yeah.
So if this is your guy, you have that much faith in him, number one pick, why not? I mean, why accept what everyone's saying? Oh, he's a bust. Why not build around him and give him the actual chance to fail?
Yeah, I think that's what their goal was this offseason. They rebuilt their whole offensive line, and now it's a really good offensive line. And they tried to add Deontay Johnson, but he just still looked so broken to start the year. I think the benching and just constant talking with Andy Dalton gave him his confidence back, and just like working daily with Dave Canales. Like, you definitely saw a way different Bryce Young. He still was making some of the mistakes that he was making, but it looked like a rejuvenated Bryce Young. I think Dave Canales was the perfect hire. And if they keep him around, which they should, unless, you know, you're an idiot like David Tepper, keep Canales, have him be the only one speaking to Bryce Young, having him be the only voice in Bryce Young's ear, that will go a long way for Bryce Young.
Yeah, I agree. And if I was them, what better way to unlock something out of Bryce Young than to pick Saban's ear?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't hurt to make a phone call. Like, you don't gotta hire him on staff. You don't gotta, hey, what can I do with him? Like, what do you think I can do? What can I do here? What can I do here? You got any red zone, or you got any third down stuff that you want to help us out with, or anything? Just any advice. Dude's won how many national championships with multiple quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't hurt to ask for help.
Yeah. So my matchup to watch is, who wants to lose more? Honestly, I think the Giants want to lose more. I think the boost to Bryce Young, I think they're just looking to see him improve. Wouldn't shock me if the Panthers lost, but I think 6.5-point spread, I think the Panthers win outright.
I don't know. I definitely got the Giants, and I have them winning by a touchdown.
You got them covering 6.5? Disrespect?
Disrespect. I see them force-feeding neighbors. Daniel Jones knows he's going to be a backup next year,
if he's even on the team.
He's probably not going to be a Giant, but he will be a backup somewhere, and he is not a bad backup.
No.
I would take a Daniel Jones on any team.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely see in Germany. That's the early 9:30 a.m. Eastern.
Gotta love it. Gotta wake up to...
7:30 in the morning.
That's like waking up and stepping out of your bed and stepping in dog shit.
Yeah, that's not a fun game.
No.
We had the other sicko game. Patriots, Jaguars.
I don't know if the NFL just said, hey, so we're going to give you... Since we're giving you a good game on Thursday, this last international game, we're going to make it real shitty.
Yeah, we're going to continue with shitty games. Yeah, Patriots, the New England Patriots at the Chicago Bears. So this is the battle of my two top quarterbacks in the draft. Okay. The Bears, what is the future of this coaching staff and regime? Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, it's becoming apparent that you guys are whiffing on stuff that you should be hitting. Matt Eberflus was brought in to fix that defense. What the fuck was going on with that defense? Oh, there's injuries, when our top players are hurt. Fucking everyone. Deal with it. Tough shit, dude. Every team is hurt, and the best defenses continue on. You were brought in to fix a defense that couldn't stop the Cardinals. Granted, the Cardinals' run game is super good, but that was the strength of your defense, was your rush defense. And you couldn't stop them at all. The Cardinals were averaging almost 7 yards a carry.
Yeah, they were that was get.
I don't know what's going on.
I just hate bad O-lines making average defensive players look great.
Yeah. So I don't think any of this is Caleb's fault. I think the situation that we thought he was going into is a lot worse than anyone actually realized that it was. But Drake May has a far worse situation. We'll be real about this. Drake May has ascended and risen the Patriots to another level. Mm-hmm. He is raising the height of the Patriots, while Caleb Williams isn't raising the level of the Bears.
If anything, he's losing confidence.
Mm-hmm. It was the downward trajectory of him turning into Hero Bowl at USC.
Everyone knows that I'm a huge Caleb fan. And
yeah,
I think he needs to dig deep, definitely do some soul searching. And I don't know. I have Caleb 10 times out of 10 better than Daniel Jones, just in general. But he's not showing it.
Yeah. Well, like with Drake May. Okay. So this is kind of a note up or shut up for Caleb Williams. Like, this is going to be a comparison for Caleb Williams through the rest of the year. If they lose to the Patriots, it's going to be because Drake May beat them and because Caleb couldn't beat a mediocre defense. I think this is, I hope the Bears win. I hope they get back on track. Be honest. Like, I love Drake May. I think he's a stud. I think he's perfect. Like, you saw, drove down the field with less than a minute, scored on the last play of regulation to tie the game with the Titans. They are, the whole team believes in Drake May. The whole team has rallied around Drake May. And I don't necessarily see that with Caleb Williams.
No. I feel like he's, people are kind of like swaying away from him. Like,
so I think he's, Caleb is just trying to do too much right now. He needs to calm down. Honestly, it wouldn't shock me if Eberflus and at least the offensive staff gets fired. Get a better offensive staff in there. If Eberflus isn't fired, I think he's firing Shane Waldron, because you have DJ Moore, you drafted Roma Dunze, you have Keenan Allen, you got DeAndre Swift, you got Cole Kmet, Caleb Williams. Like, even with a mediocre to bad offensive line, you should be able to put up points on people. And it's just so hot and cold week on week.
But by chance, do you think there's any self-sabotage within the Bears organization?
I don't think so, because Eberflus is on the hot seat.
I mean, a lot of people didn't want to see Justin Fields go. DJ Moore definitely included.
Yeah. I understand why they got rid of him. They just tried to reset it. And the ceiling, to be fair, Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. He has a higher ceiling and honestly has a higher floor, in my opinion. And Caleb is a rookie. That's the other thing. Caleb is a rookie. He is supposed to be struggling, but he's being compared to Jaden Daniels, to Drake May. Like, Drake May has his struggles, but he is the sole reason the Patriots have to win.
But RG3 definitely hit it. He said it best. Caleb, they have expectation. They have expectations to win.
Yeah.
That Bears team is expected to win.
And it's only going to get harder.
Jaden Daniels is playing with no expectations, so that's why he's playing free. He's playing loose. He's having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also doesn't help when your number one wide receiver gives up. He did it against the Texans, and then he did it last week against the Cardinals. Like, if that's your persona, that's the way you want to handle things, I mean, get that guy out of it. They paid him, but
yeah,
that's not who I want on my team.
Yeah, my matchup to watch is Patriots wide receivers versus the Bears coverage unit. Bears coverage unit is arguably the best in the NFL with Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon healthy. There's, like, the whole drama with Tyreek Stevenson, like, this is dumb shit that's going on. Like, that's a lack of discipline coming directly from your coach.
Oh, yeah.
So, honestly, the Bears are favored by 6. It wouldn't shock me if the Patriots won this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this game is way more even than what people think. It's too
late. I'm going to take... Go ahead.
It's too late to have a bounce back game. Your bounce back game was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you drop 2... Yeah, you got issues. Someone needs to go.
Yeah, I'm taking my boy Drake May, covering that spread and winning outright.
I'm going to have to go with Caleb covering.
They're going
to
win by 7?
Yeah, touchdown. Touchdown what pass to Roma Dunze to walk it off.
There you go. All right, next game, the Buffalo Bills at the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, so, Ricky, I got some shit to say. About the Colts.
Preach, brother.
What the fuck is Shane Steichen doing? Okay. Anthony Richardson, it's very clear. Joe Flacco does not make you a better team. Like, plain and simple. They got beat by the Vikings. Their offense didn't look functional at all either. Like, Anthony Richardson, if you are benching him for the rest of the season for Joe Flacco, Just because, oh, we can make the playoffs. Oh, what the fuck does that do for you?
Nothing.
Anthony Richardson needs reps and playing time with his team. He needs off-season work with a coach that believes in him. Shane Steichen advocated to take Anthony Richardson fourth overall, knowing he had only played one season of college football because he had all the traits in the world. He has played less than 30 games since his senior year of high school. Okay, he is only 23 years old, 24 years old. Like, he's younger than Jaden Daniels. Okay, his whole thing, if you are benching him for maturity issues, that's different. I can believe that he needs to mature, grow up. But if you are benching him for performance issues, that is the dumbest thing that you've ever done. As a coaching staff, as an organization, you are screwing your future and your quarterback over.
Yeah. Especially
if they lose out. Like, I hope they all get fired. I hope they lose out. Like, he deserves to lose every single game if he is benching Anthony Richardson for performance issues. Like, this is stupid.
I agree. You're sending a bad message to Anthony Richardson. If that's your guy, you're planning on sticking with him? Yeah, you guys are messing up.
All right, now, my rant's a little done. Let's talk about the Bills. I think Amari Cooper didn't play last week. And I think you definitely saw Keon Coleman kind of take a step back. And Khalil Shakir became the offense again. So I'm curious, with Amari back this week, what Keon Coleman's role will be in the team.
I want to see what Josh Allen does.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, you don't know what you're going to get with him week to week. This dude can run all over you. And then if not, he's passing all over you.
Yeah. I think the matchup to watch is Jonathan Taylor versus the Bills' rush defense. Honestly, the Bills are only favored by 4. I think that's an easy cover. I think they win by 7, at least.
Oh, easy. Especially because there's so much dysfunction in the Colts locker room right now. And just against with their coaching staff.
Yeah. So, that's my pick. Is Bills cover the 4-point spread.
Oh, easy. All day.
All right, next game, Minnesota Vikings versus the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, finally.
What do you got on this? I mean, what do you got on this game?
The Vikings offense has been performing. I think they're just going to win easy. I think you saw some emergence out of Jordan Addison. There's been so much talk. You know, people post these messages, and he can mean one whole thing. And then they want to make it cryptic, like, because he said free 3 on his Instagram, and they want to blow this whole thing out of proportion. Like, oh, he wants out, he doesn't want to be a Viking. But, I mean, dude's a baller. Mm-hmm. He wants to be there. Him and Jefferson are probably one of the best 1-2 punches in the NFL.
If I'm him, I would want to stay there. Justin Jefferson is going to get all the double teams. You're going to be wide open all the fucking time.
It's not always good to be a number one somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Juju Smith-Schuster. He had an amazing season, his rookie season. But guess who he had on the other side? Antonio Brown. Took a lot of pressure off him.
Yeah.
When Brown left, Juju looked like shit.
Yeah, he struggled. And that's everywhere he's gone. He went to Kansas City, was the number 2 or 3 during that playoff Super Bowl run, gets paid by the Patriots, and is back to being a number one wide receiver, and after one season is off the team. It's just non-factor.
So the Vikings did exactly what they were supposed to do last week. Shake off that Rams game, get the you know, team moving in the right direction again. Everybody locked back in, and they took care of business.
Yeah. I just think Jaguars have signaled that they might be looking to the future with trading of Cam Robinson to the Vikings, ironically. But I think Brian Flores is just going to start working the Jaguars offense.
Oh, it's going to get
bad. He is going to screw over that whole offense. That offensive line is going to look lost.
I mean, I know a lot of people expected Thomas to have a better game or better season than what he's having. He's just so inconsistent in that offense. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, QB issues or offensive coordinator issues, head coaching issues.
Yeah, it's just been what I've been saying all year. The Jaguars are bad. I never had any reason to believe they were better than what they are right now. 2-6, 2-7. Trent Baalke did a horrific job building a team, and now they're tied to Trevor Lawrence for the foreseeable future. And it's looking like Baalke and Doug Peterson are going to both get fired. They should be, honestly.
I mean, but how do you have that bad of a drop-off after almost, you know, competing with the Chiefs that year that they lost?
I think it's the same thing about the Giants. They overachieved that season, barely squeaked into the playoffs off of a Week 18 win. Yes, you come back against the Chargers, but the Chargers were a mess under Brandon Staley. That meant nothing to me. And then you go and you play a actual legitimate contender, and they got the door shot off of them. It's just, it's a joke. Whole joke. Joke organization. Joke. Jacksonville jokesters. Screw that, man.
I think we should definitely put in, you know, a request to change the name.
The London Jokers.
Yeah, I don't know why they just don't move over there.
Yeah, I don't know. We got the Vikings are favored by 4.5. I think that's an easy cover, man.
Again, another one.
Easy.
Is the NFL messing with us? Or are they trying to be sneaky? Have some of these trap games.
This does feel like a trap game week. There's going to be one or two surprises this week.
Yeah, because we're going to jump back on here and be like,
well, shit, we missed every single one of these.
Yeah.
What it feels like. Feeling too confident in all these picks.
Doesn't it get crazy like that from week to week? You're just like, we go into a week confident. We're like, okay, cool, they're going to win. Easy win. And then you're like, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think half their team showed up for that week. It's like,
yeah, all right. We got the Denver Broncos visiting the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh man, let's jump back to that Thursday night game against the Saints. It's going to be reversed, except for the Chiefs are going to be doing the stomping.
It's just, I don't see the Chiefs losing. I mean, the rest of their schedule. It's pretty easy. Like I think they're going to win this week. I think realistically, the one loss that the Chiefs are going to have could be to the Buffalo Bills, and that's just because they always lose to the Bills during regular season. Let's see. We got Chiefs-Broncos this week, obviously. They play at the Buffalo Bills next week, at the Carolina Panthers, at home against the Raiders. Home against the Chargers, at the Browns, at home against the Texans, at the Steelers, and at the Broncos. How many losses do you see in there?
Possibly two.
I think at the most.
Yeah,
like at most two. They could slip up between the Raiders and the Chargers, one of those. No. I don't think they lose to the Texans.
I don't know, you'll be surprised. Where are they playing at? Are they playing in Houston?
They're playing in Kansas City, and that's going to be an eye-opener for C.J. Stroud. I get Nico Collins would definitely be back for that. He's going to be back probably this week for the Texans, but I mean, I see the Chiefs losing maybe to the Bills, and that's it.
I don't know. If I was Houston, I'd definitely study that. I would study that Ravens game and that Bucks game. Those are the games I would be watching.
Yeah.
Both in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'd also add in that Bengals game.
Mm-hmm. I just think DeAndre Hopkins opens up that whole offense.
Yes.
So I don't know.
You need a first down? You know where to go.
Him and Travis Kelce are getting that first down. And then you got Xavier Worthy for the long bombs. I think that's it. It's your recipe for success this year.
I just don't understand how they don't have Travis Kelce figured out. He runs the same routes every time. Nothing changes about his game plan.
He just gets open, man. He just gets open.
And then he always has that stupid little shoulder shake shimmy thing that he uses to get open. It's like, what are you guys doing out there?
Yeah. Plain scared is what they're doing. I think the Chiefs are going to roll over the Broncos. They're 8-point favorites.
I think they win by 14.
Yeah. Same here. Bo Nix has looked okay as a rookie, but you can tell when he starts to do his own thing and starts to try and be more than what he is, his play gets worse and the team suffers from that. He plays within himself and within the offense that Sean Payton is giving him. He looks good.
I mean, Chiefs beat the Ravens. Ravens played the Broncos last week. You know, I hate using it this way, but the Ravens put up 41 on the Broncos, and they're what? They were a top 10 defense?
They're a top 5 defense.
See? And
so, yeah, it's crazy. But Chiefs are easy cover on that 8 points.
For sure.
All right. Atlanta. Oh, go ahead.
If I was Sean Payton, I think I'd call in sick that day.
This is who you were hired to beat. He's tapping out like Anthony Richardson. Tapping out this week.
Yeah, just one last thing. I don't see the Chiefs losing to anybody in the division. Easy covers in the division.
Yeah. I definitely, like we just said, can see it. All right, we got the Atlanta Falcons versus the New Orleans Saints.
Oh.
So the Saints have traded Marshawn Lattimore, their cornerback, and a 2025 fifth-round pick to the Washington Commanders for a third-round, fourth-round, and sixth-round picks. I think this is the signal that the Saints are going to change fundamentally as an organization, because they've constantly been on the, like, they're treating the salary cap like a credit card, constantly maxing it out, just pushing it down the road ever since Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And now it's kind of the realization that we need to build through youth and get significantly cheaper. With them firing Dennis Allen after the loss to the Panthers, I think this is a clear cut. This is what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This was supposed to be Derek Carr's prove it year, which, I mean, last season, like, he's never had no excuse not to win in New Orleans. He's had good teams surrounded by him. He finally got that, you know, top 20 defense that he never had with the Raiders. Had offensive weapons. You had a beast running back in Kamara. You've had multiple tight ends that could win.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Carr's future is definitely a question mark with the Saints. Could be looking quarterback, to be honest. But that's not my philosophy. So my philosophy is build a team out, then place the quarterback in it. You know, what do I know?
I mean,
I don't get paid to make teams.
I mean, they should. Send a check, ESPN. We need it.
One other thing I wanted to touch on with the Saints is Chris Olave. He has had 5 grade 1 concussions in the past 4 seasons. He's had 2 this year, 1 last year, 1 in 2022, and then 1 in college in 2020.
I mean, you hate to see it.
Like, he hasn't ever had, like, the scary, scary concussions like Tua. But he's had just as much, if not more, than Tua has.
I mean, any time you rattle the brain, you're risking your future.
I mean, he got popped by the Panthers. Like, popped. As soon as he went down, flags went flying. Everyone knew it. He was out. Like, he woke up in the hospital. The ironic thing is that he decided not to wear a guardian cap for that game. Would the guardian cap have saved him from that concussion? Probably not, because that was how vicious the hit was. But from all of his other ones, absolutely. Like, don't be an idiot. At least wear the cap. Anyway, the Falcons side of things, I'm honestly surprised that they didn't do anything in the trade deadline.
Yeah, they were pretty stagnant.
Like, I understand they traded for Matthew Judon to start the year, but he's always been a stats over down by down efficiency guy. So I think they're playing it smart. I think they're going through youth, the draft, building it year on year, And honestly, they're only contending with the Bucks, who Mike Evans is out for a couple more weeks. Chris Godwin's done for the year. Bucks defense is bad. I think they have saw clearly that they don't need to make any moves to win the division.
No. And then with that two-headed monster that you keep on bragging about week to week, should definitely be easy win for them.
Oh, yeah. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, arguably the best backfield in the league.
And then the emergence of Drake London, which is it really an emergence? He just never had a quarterback.
Yeah. I think the Falcons are favored by 4. In New Orleans, I think the Falcons do cover that.
Yeah, easy.
Next up, we got the San Francisco 49ers going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Could this be our trap game? Just saying.
I think this could be it. Honestly, the Niners traded for Khalil Davis to shore up their run defense, which smart. Your defensive line has been just riddled with injuries all season. You need that depth against a really good three-headed monster in the Buccaneers' backfield, Bucky Irving, Rashad White, and Sean Tucker. They're three of the top 15 running backs in the league per PFF.
Let's not forget to mention Baker. He puts that head down. He's getting some yards.
Yeah. Well, Christian McCaffrey has been practicing all week with the 49ers. I think he's going to be on a snap count, if anything, this week. My matchup would be McCaffrey versus Lavonte David, but I do not see McCaffrey being a major factor this week. I think it's mostly going to be Isaac Garando and Jordan Mason. But even then, Jordan Mason's playing through shoulder injuries. So I think it's going to be a Garando kind of game. I do have a question mark on Charvarius Ward playing this week. He's not hurt, but he had a tragedy in his family over the last week, which is very sad, and definitely thoughts and prayers go out to him and his wife, as one of his children passed away due to some pre-existing problems. And so definitely thoughts and prayers go out to him, and hope everything is going well with him and his family.
Oh yeah, that one definitely hits home. Uh-huh. And yeah, words can't even explain on what he's feeling now, what place he's in right now. So yeah, I agree with you. Thoughts and prayers to the family. And hopefully his brothers in arms can go and get it done for him.
Yeah. The 49ers are favored by 6.
This is going to be a field goal game, if that.
Yeah, 6 is a lot. But you can also see it. Like the 49ers, if they turn on, it's no one can keep pace with them. But if they're not there, I don't know.
They're also playing a team that's playing for their lives. The Bucs don't want to settle for middle of the pack. They want to make the playoffs. They want to make some noise. Baker's a gamer. Mike Evans is a gamer. All these people, you know, we have a lot of people out. But they don't want to just sit back and lose.
Yeah. 49ers covered that 6.
I don't know. I see it being a field goal game.
I think they win by 7. I just think there's too many weapons, and the 49ers offensive line has been playing significantly better. That's my goal. That's my take from that. Next up, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Washington Commanders.
Second trap game.
Yeah. This is a good game. This is a good game.
It is going to be a good game.
Like, this is probably my game of the week right here. You got the 6-2 Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the 7-2 Washington Commanders. And both teams are leading their divisions. Like, this is for the division race.
Mm-hmm.
If the Steelers lose, the Ravens then lead their division. If the Ravens win, obviously pending Thursday night. But if the Commanders lose and the Eagles beat the Cowboys, the Eagles then take control of the division.
Which is going to happen. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that later, but 100% agree.
I mean, both teams have made trades at the deadline. I'll let you get into those a little bit. I don't see either of those two people they traded for being factors in this week.
I think Marshawn Lattimore He didn't play last week, said he had some nagging hamstring issues. Could that have been them just prepping him for the trade? I don't know, but I don't think he's going to play. I really don't know if he moves the needle for your defense. Okay. Like, I understand that your pass rush has been getting better week on week, and that's a Dan Quinn scheming thing. But Marshon Lattimore's been hurt last 3 years. He doesn't ever consistently play all 17 games. He's 28 years old. He's almost hitting the fall-off cliff that 30 years old is for corners. I don't know how much he does for your team. I understand he then takes the hard assignments with A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb. I get that, and he's arguably a top-five corner in the league. But you gave up so much to give him, and it seems just so short-sighted to do that. Like, they could have traded, if they were looking for a corner, go after J.C. Horn with the Panthers. He's younger. He's cheaper. You probably could have given up just a fourth-round pick for him.
Yeah, we definitely saw him moving, but that didn't happen.
So, I don't understand the Marshon Lattimore pick or trade. And the Steelers, I mean, they trade for Mike Williams. It's a fifth-round pick. I really don't love this. You're just adding a second George Pickens that's bigger and, I guess, faster, arguably. But, I mean, George Pickens is better at contested catches than Mike Williams is. He's a better route runner than Mike Williams is, and he can separate more. So I guess you're adding a second weapon, but they should have gone with another receiver. They should have found someone else. Like, Deontay Johnson, ironically, would have been a perfect fit for this team. But trade him away is what it is. I did like them trading for Preston Smith. They gave pennies on the dollar with a seventh-round pick, which was kind of surprising. I didn't think the Packers were going to move on from Preston, but I think that's awesome value, and it just adds additional depth for the long season that they're looking to have. They're looking for a playoff run. They already have the best pass rush rotation in the league, and you just add Smith to that. He's a little older, but not having to rush every down is a huge benefit to him.
Let's see. Mike Williams to the Steelers. It brings size, but what was his name out of Notre Dame that they had their wide receiver? I think he's on somebody's practice squad this year.
Claypool?
Yes, Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
I think all you did was put Chase Claypool back on the roster.
Yeah. Older. More beat up.
A little bit more maturity. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true.
If Mike Williams can turn it on, when he turns it on, he's a great wide receiver. But if you're that same guy you've kind of been showing since, you know, your rookie season, you know, dropping balls, not being consistent, and it was a waste of a trade.
So my big matchup is the Steelers' offensive line versus the Commanders' defensive line. Obviously, because the Steelers have had this massive youth movement through their offensive line. Zach Frazier is arguably a top five center in the league right now. I would definitely have him up there. I mean, there's not many people you put above him. You definitely put Creed Humphrey. Frank Ragnow, he's probably on the level of Tyler Linderbaum. So that's three or four right now. And he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. But that's, like, his whole outlook towards the draft was to be an immediate starting center. And he's been great. And their fifth-round pick in Mason McCormick has been good. He's definitely starting to pick up as the season goes on, starting to learn things. Roderick Jones is struggling, their former first-round pick. But hopefully he can kind of put it together as we keep going with this. The Commanders are favored by 2.5.
I don't know. This one's going to be a tough one to choose because, like I said, it might be that trap game where you're like, oh, I'm confident with them winning, but then the complete opposite happened.
I just think Jaden Daniels hasn't seen TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig. He hasn't seen a defense, a defensive front like that. And for all I talked about with TJ Watt, last episode, during our top 10 edge rushers, He is playing the best rush defense of his career. And he's doing that against Lamar Jackson. Like, he's doing that against rushing quarterbacks, and he is a big play any chance. I think the Steelers win and cover this.
So I know your matchup to watch was the Steelers O-line versus the Commanders defensive line. I have it both ways on both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the Caleb haters, of course, they're like, oh, you know, the Commanders don't have an O-line either. I mean, if that's true, then the Steelers O-line is gonna eat. And the hits that Jaden's taken this, you know, these past couple of weeks, he's feeling them.
Uh-huh.
With the rib wrap, and, you know, you can see him walking a little gingerly a little bit after a couple of hits. I mean,
yeah. I think Cliff Kingsbury's definitely protected that offensive line really well, but we'll see. This is an entirely different monster.
He's going to need to ice up after this game.
Yeah. All right. Next, we've got the Tennessee Titans versus the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, someone's team. I mean, you didn't say that with no excitement, so I don't know what's going on.
Because the Titans won.
You're still upset
about that. Of course I'm not. Yes, I am so upset about that. Will Levis is expected to play. I'm not even going to get into last week. I'm not even going to get into it. Anyway, Will Levis is expected to play. He's been training towards it this week. I mean, Mason Rudolph proved that your offense is the same, regardless of Will Levis or him. I think they script a lot of play calls well to start the game. They're efficient. They score 14 points on almost every team that they play immediately. It's when the coaching adjustments and the actual depth of play calling come into question that they really struggle. I mean, they easily could have beaten the Chargers. They easily could have beaten the Patriots by more.
Oh, yeah. Easy, too.
Easily. But they didn't. It was competitive. And honestly, I'm surprised that no one was moved. Like, I'm surprised Arden Key's still on the team. Specifically Arden Key, because I thought he would get traded. But, you know, he still is on the team, keeps their defense really good. Then you got the Chargers side. And Justin Herbert is breaking out over the past couple of weeks, and he's dragging a stupid bad offense, kicking and screaming to wins. Like, if you watch their offense, you watch the Chargers offense, right?
Yes, so.
It's bad.
I think it's bad because they're making Justin Herbert be something he's not.
I just, like, their run game isn't good. It's not efficient. And so he's having to drop back and pass so many times. And yes, he is. He is talented enough to do it. But Greg Roman is not a good enough offensive coordinator to maximize Justin Herbert's potential.
But do you see Justin Herbert as only a game manager?
No. He's a baller. He's a winner.
Because Jim, his whole thing is ground and pound, grind out the game, you know, slow the game down. And if that's the case, you know, Herbert is not your guy. He's not your guy for that.
I think we're seeing Harbaugh evolve his philosophy before us, because he's also never had a quarterback as good as Justin Herbert.
This is true.
And so we're starting to see it where it's evolving, but he clearly doesn't have pass catching options. I mean, the interior offensive line is really bad as well. And so, like, Ladd McConkey's your best receiver, and he's a slot number two receiver at best.
And then they're making Quentin Johnson look good. For some weird reason, I don't know why.
They just don't have pass-catching options. It's just, they need to keep building that offensive line and keep getting pass-catchers for them.
So do you see frustrations with Justin Herbert if they don't do anything this year?
No. I think they knew what they were going into the year, and they've already overachieved. I think Jim Harbaugh knows going into this year it was going to be hard. They got a lot of bad contracts on the roster. And so they're just Their defense is a top five defense in the league right now. Like, they are first in defensive EPA per play allowed. And they are first in successful play percentage allowed. That is crazy. And they're doing it with no-name players. Like Elijah Molden, Christian Fulton as the corners and safeties. Dion Henley, he's breaking out as their linebacker. Yes, they have Joey Bosa, Cleo Max playing out of his mind this year. Bosa's been hurt all year. Derwin James is playing well again. I think the defense is where Harbaugh has put his imprint immediately, and I think the offense needs a year before we truly see a contender with the Chiefs.
Do you see Joey Bosa being a Charger next season?
I think he's done.
I think he's kind of been a negative influence since they drafted him, because he didn't even want to sign his rookie contract.
Yeah, that's every fucking...
That's not everybody.
Every fucking rookie. That's a lot of rookies. So
I'll give you a decent amount, but
he is under contract through next season, Joey Bosa. And if he is cut pre-June 1st, if he's a post-June 1st cut, they save $25 million on the cap. He will be a dead cap of about $11 million.
You know, unload him for some draft capital. Somebody will want him.
Yeah, I think someone will, but I don't think they're willing to take what someone else will give them for it.
I can see the 49ers making a silly run for him.
That'd be funny. The Bosa brothers, and all of a sudden he's super healthy.
I mean, you've seen him at all his games. He's all
right. The Chargers are 7.5-point favorites. I think they cover that. They win by 8.
They cover. I agree. Chargers cover. Just for your sake, because I know you're not very happy when you win.
Oh, yeah, I'm awful. The Titans win right now. Be bad. You know you're bad, so just be bad. Don't be mediocre. Be bad.
I mean, what is going to guarantee your loss is Will Levis is playing. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. 2 pick sixes? Are we going over-under? Okay, here's a funny freaking bet to look for. Will Levis, over-under, pick sixes. Against the Chargers.
I think over.
Over 1.5?
Oh, yeah.
2 pick sixes.
He's been looking like a superstar playing for the other team.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Herbert's like, what the heck? I thought I was a Chargers quarterback. Awesome. All right, we got the New York Jets at the Arizona Cardinals. I don't care about this game.
Yeah, I don't see any pizzazz in this game, any excitement.
Like, yeah, the Cardinals are leading their division, but, I mean, are they really? 49ers are going to figure it out at some point and win the division at the end. The Cardinals' defense is going to keep them from winning the division. I mean, the Jets are favored by 1 in Arizona.
That's wild.
I mean, Jets are 3-6.
So my question to you is, do you think that their win last week was a fluke over the Texans?
I don't think we learned anything last week. No. I think the Texans were so beat up on offense that it really didn't tell you anything about the Jets as an organization. Do I think they continue the momentum? Absolutely. I think the Jets will definitely continue it because Kyler isn't consistent week on week. But the Cardinals' run game can keep them in this game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's time for them to definitely trim the fat of that team.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw Buda Baker moving at the trade deadline. That didn't happen.
Nope, it didn't. I think it's a sign that they're going to keep him around and just extend him at the end of the year. But honestly, this is one that I will not be tuning in for. I think the Cardinals are going to win. But it's going to be because James Conner and Trey Benson win the game.
I mean, it's a local free game for you.
Yep.
So, I mean, you could.
I will still not tune in.
I mean, Maserati Marv, like, how much is he going to do this game against that Jets defense? If they make any kind of headway, I think they need to get their tight ends involved, and other people need to step up. It can't just be Marvin Harrison Jr., Connor, and then Kyler with his legs.
Yeah. I think this is kind of it is what it is. I mean, Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson are going to feast. Their offensive line is going to look good, but I still don't think they're going to run the ball. And the Cardinals defense isn't going to stop them.
No.
And it's just which version of the Cardinals offense are you going to get? Are you going to get Kyler making unreal throws? Or are you going to just rely on James Conner the whole time?
It's going to come down to who has the least mistakes.
Yeah. So this is a game I stay away, but I think Cardinals do win. Keep control of the division. Go ahead.
What is the Jets favored by?
One.
I say they win by a field goal.
That's fair enough. Yeah. I think it's pretty easy. It's almost a pick 'em coin flip.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Next we got the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys.
This is a heater.
I mean, did you hear Skip Bayless go on this whole rant about how he thinks Cooper Rush is the best quarterback on the Cowboys?
I think Skip was off his meds that day.
Skip is the originator of just screaming stupid hot takes.
Yeah.
And it's just the dumbest shit that you can listen to.
Is Cooper Rush starting?
Yeah.
I don't even know how that makes sense.
I mean, Trey Lance gives him a higher ceiling, but Cooper Rush will make him more competitive. But, is it really a question of being competitive?
No. But if you don't want to skip a beat, I think Trey Lance is like Dak Prescott, I'm not going to say 2.0.
It's less accurate. Just less accurate.
Yeah.
We'll be honest here. I mean, the Eagles are favored by 7 in Dallas. There's nothing really to talk about here. I think Saquon, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, they just carry this Eagles team. I mean, their offense has hit their stride, and they look unbeatable right now.
I see Eagles winning 21-3.
I think it's going to be more.
41-10?
41-10. So that's a good pick for me.
Eagles. Yeah. Easy. Right. Like, do we even have to talk anymore?
Yeah. We got Sunday Night Football. The 7-1 NFC leading Detroit Lions visiting the AFC South beating Houston Texans. Detroit's favored by 3.5. And Nico Collins is expected to play.
I'm very curious. He's been out, what, 5 weeks? 4 weeks?
4 weeks, yeah.
Like, is that hamstring? Is he 100? Curious to want to see where he's at. Because those kind of linger regardless if you wait the 4 weeks or whatever amount of time they want you to wait.
Yeah, so it's a required 4 weeks. I think he's going to be a much-needed boost. If he does not play, I think this is awful. I think the Lions blow him out. Like, Ben Johnson is just this offensive wizard that is just going to break your soul as a team. Like, he just looks at every team's strength on offense and is like, guess what? I can do it better. Like, he is just going to break the Texans' will on defense.
Yeah, I agree. I Nico Collins playing, I don't see it changing much.
Yeah. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is arguably a top 3 receiver in the league for me. And he can do everything. I think he moves the ball up and down the field against the Texans. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are the other top 2 running back room in the league.
Who's not been mentioned for the Lions a lot?
LaPorta?
Yes. That's just another weapon they have. It's like, we don't need to mention him every week like they did last season. But he will get the job done.
Yeah, he's a typical Iowa tight end. Good blocker, puts his head down, does what he needs to do to win.
Yeah.
Just like George Kittle.
Definitely comes to work with his boots on and his lunch pail ready to go.
Yeah. I think the Lions are going to cover that 3.5. And Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery by themselves. With that offensive line, plus the addition of Za'Darius Smith to their defense. Like if they make the Super Bowl, Aiden Hutchinson will be back. Could you imagine that? a Lions Super Bowl, Aiden Hutchinson, Za'Darius Smith, that would be the best thing.
And you know, he's aching to get back. He's doing whatever he can to get back.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's a trooper. Definitely one of those players that are like, what do I got to do to get back on this field?
Mm-hmm.
But like you mentioned, that's a scary sight.
Yeah. So I think it's easy cover for the Lions. And we got Monday Night Football, our last game of the week.
Ooh, Dolphins versus the Rams.
The Rams are favored by one.
Who picked this game? Did the commissioner just say, hey?
They were good last year.
Our last international game and our Monday night game, they're going to suck ass.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's interesting. Just seeing the Rams offense look completely different with Cooper Kupp and Nacua back. And the Dolphins offense look completely different with Tua back.
Yeah. But
I'm curious to see which way this game goes, honestly.
Tua brings that stability to the offense, but has he been the same since coming back?
Yeah, he's looked better. Like this season, he definitely, there's something off with the whole offense, whether it's been figured out or not, but there's definitely something off with that offense.
And then what's going on with Tyreek? So usually,
I think it's just the lack of Tua.
Usually he has a couple long downfield targets, and they usually use him in the slot, or they use him, you know, little short dink and dink passes, and I mean, he ain't doing nothing.
I think it's just the offense. Without Tua, the offense doesn't function. They made their whole team entirely too much reliant on Tua.
Yeah.
And Tua is not a good enough quarterback to raise that ceiling at all.
So my thing is, as long as Puka Nacua doesn't punch anybody this week, Rams win.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so my key matchup for this week will be Ramsey versus Nacua and Kupp. Like, who is he going to cover?
He's going to cover Kupp.
So who's
covering? He should cover Nacua.
Yeah, who's covering Puka?
So I think the Rams are going to end up just blowing this out. I mean, they're only favored by one, which is pretty surprising. I think the Dolphins can score quickly, but the Rams can just bludgeon you. And I'm curious about the defensive line going against the Dolphins. How quick can Tua get the ball out?
I think my matchup should have been which running back's going to be better.
On HN or Kyron Williams?
I mean, they're both balling.
Mm-hmm.
HN's dealing, you know, coming off injury. Williams has been pretty consistent all season. You need yards, he gets you yards. You need a touchdown, he's getting you in the end zone.
Yeah. So this is a good matchup to watch. I think I definitely would like to watch this game.
Oh. So. I mean, if you're watching this game, you better watch that Cardinals-Jets game.
No. I don't hate myself enough for that.
Just enough to watch the Dolphins-Rams Monday night.
Yes, just enough for that. Not enough for Cardinals.
Gotta love it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for making it to the end of the episode. And on Sunday, we'll be doing another position rankings. This time, it's going to be either interior defensive line or running backs. We haven't quite decided yet. But we're looking forward to that. And again, please do rate, comment, and subscribe. Any comments, we'll definitely be reading them. And anything you guys want us to do or shout out, definitely leave it in the Apple comment section. And we'll definitely go through those.
I mean, we're nothing without you guys. Your comments mean a lot. We can't grow without that feedback. And like you said, like, comment, subscribe. We love you guys. We love doing this. And I'm looking forward to the next episode.
All right, Ricky. We'll see you on Sunday.
Oh, I will see you. And we will have some stuff to talk about.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, guys.